Thank you. search the world. It couldn't feel me. Man's empty grave, treasures of faith, never enough. You came along, put me together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. You've seen them all. You still call me your friend. The God of the mountains, He's the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Lord, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Turn morning to dancing. You give beauty to ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn morning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn grace into God. You turn bones into arms. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. You turn grace into God. You turn bones into arms. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Good morning. Good morning. Have you all still got your hard hats and your safety vests on? Had a little eventful, wild evening last evening, but hey, you live in Oklahoma. You live in Oklahoma, and I'm going to give you a little word of advice. Don't trust the weatherman. Okay? He promised that it wasn't going to do that on the eastern side of the state. It was all going to be from Oklahoma City West, right? He promised. Who do you trust? The good Lord. Be smart. Be smart. We are glad you're here. There's been some damage, and we need to be sure that we keep folks in our state and our communities around in our prayers. There's been some loss of life, I think, in the Holdenville area, and devastation. Holdenville and Sulphur and Ardmore and smaller communities across the state. I think they are counting 17-plus major tornadoes, and some of those were very devastating long track tornadoes. So keep these people in our prayers. We will be exploring through our Baptist convention. We have a disaster relief organization sponsored by our convention that we'll be in contact with to see if maybe they need some help in different areas, because the damage is widespread. So but just be smart, okay? We don't want you to be a statistic, okay? So, things that are we want to let you be aware of. First of all, Megan White made a trip down to MD Anderson in Houston, and concerning some cancer problems that she's dealing with, things are on track now. She has a very difficult and a very challenging process ahead of her, because the cancer that she's dealing with is very aggressive and very difficult to treat. So keep making in her prayers that they'll give her good advice and they'll give her good treatment, that these things will get taken care of. We got a new baby in our church family. Clayton and Bailey got a new baby girl, and she is a tiny little bitty thing, 2 pounds and 13 ounces when she was born. You can't even imagine that. That's not as much as a package of bacon. But now she's over 3 pounds and doing good. Has maybe a process. She's got a little fluid around her heart, given some issues, and need to keep them in our prayers, because what's ahead of her is a long road. And keep mom and dad and both sets of grandparents. I mean, you're not proud at all, not concerned at all. But anyway, we congratulate you. Charlotte Annette, baby's name. Congratulations to them. Don't forget, tonight, 7 o'clock, our final study of the four-part study about telling your story. How do you share Jesus with people? How do you tell people about what happened to you so that it can happen to them? So we're going to finish that up tonight by giving you a simple plan from the Scriptures of how to tell people what it takes to be saved. It's called the ABCs, Admit, Believe, Confess. And we'll share with you some Scripture tonight how you can take this very simply, very easily. It's something that will be useful and beneficial to you. I encourage you to come. And that's at 7 o'clock tonight. Make sure you come. A note change, a change of schedule. Our men's prayer breakfast happened to fall on Nettie Davenport Day, our alumni celebration. And because of that, we're going to postpone that 1 week back to the 18th of May. So May the 18th, guys, put that date on your calendar. A little change in the normal schedule of things that are going on. Also, a reminder about Falls Creek and about Vacation Bible School. If you are planning to go to Falls Creek, that list is just about filled up. So you need to get a hold of John and Michelle just as quickly as you possibly can. That's the 8th through the 13th of July. Vacation Bible School, the 22nd through the 27th of July. So be sure you know that. Ladies, don't forget the Thursday Bible study here at the church from noon to 1 o'clock. Come out and join Beth and the girls. And this coming Wednesday night, potluck. Bring whatever you want on our fellowship dinner at 6 o'clock, and youth class following that. We are in the process of making some more progress on our playground area out there, And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a playground that'll be ready for the kids to be using. That's an ongoing process. Keep that in mind. We had planned after the services today to have everybody pick up 15 chairs and carry them out when you went. That's not a problem, right? No. We're going to have to move all these chairs. All these lights are going to have to be replaced, and we have to have a scissor lift come in and do that. So we need to get all the chairs out of here. So that'll be coming up a little bit later on the 20th of May. And the reason why we postponed it so far is because of end-of-school activities, which we will look at in just a moment. But we postponed that just a little bit. So the gentleman who's going to be doing that for us having some difficulty getting some material. So that's been a change. End of school, May the 12th. Of course, that's Mother's Day. That will also be Senior Day. We will honor our graduating seniors. And also, that will be baccalaureate service that night here at the church at 7 o'clock. May the 14th, 8th grade graduation. All these services programs will be here at the church. May the 14th, 8th grade graduation, 7 o'clock. May the 15th. All sports banquet at 7 o'clock. May the 16th, high school graduation, 7 o'clock. So things are going to get a little crazy, a little busy right away. So we're going to need some extra help in making some things go up. So dive in and help us out with that. Any other announcements? Things going on that we all need to know about today? Any other announcements? God is good, I'm telling you. Considering what happened in our state last night, I'm blessed to see your lovely face this morning. I count that a very blessed privilege. Glad to see you. In our Sunday school this morning, there were 48 present. Our Sunday school offering was $115. Besides Laney, anybody else have a birthday or an anniversary? Oh, excuse me, I wasn't supposed to call her out. Jason. Birthdays or anniversaries?
Let's stand and sing happy birthday this morning.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday.
Let's turn and welcome our friends and neighbors.
Okay.
All right, join with us this morning. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this song. I'm a part of the family of God.
Today, God, as we come into your house, we come with glad hearts. With thankful spirits, Father, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for your watch care over us in the face of dangerous situations last night. Thank you that you took care of us. I pray that we will always understand, God, that we can lift up our eyes into the hills from whence comes our help. Our help comes from you. We can trust you and have confidence in you to know that no matter what life brings, what the circumstance may be, you never fail. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You're always there to love us and take care of us, and we are thankful for that. This day, Father, as we are in your house, now let our spirits be glad, let our souls rejoice, let our hearts be lifted up in praise and worship to you. Bless these who've come, Father. It's a joy to see them. Take care of them for their faithfulness. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, we'll continue this morning with just a closer walk with Thee.
I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toils and snares, if I fall, the Lord who burden share, none but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, oh, to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Walking close to Thee, be. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Okay, now we'll turn over to our offertory hymn, if you don't mind standing with me. Are you washed in the blood?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you gone the spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You feeling daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? To rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you gone the spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Yes, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Go through our service this morning, Father. I just ask that each and every heart here would hear your word. Lord, speak to us. That we can take the word that was received today, Lord, to go out, share it, further your kingdom, Lord. And Father, this morning as we take your offering, we ask that you use it for what you see fit, Lord. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. You were trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. We've all run to things we know. been turned around? Would I never been alone? Seen the water get troubled, we walked across. When my knees were shaking, you held my hand, turning my problems to the promised land. Lead on, good shepherd, follow all my days. There ain't nothing seen, watch you walk away. You walk through my valley, but you never steered me wrong. So lead on, good shepherd, lead on. It's a mighty deep canyon that you brought me through. Seems a mighty big mountain, just up and move. Glory, hallelujah, that's my song. Walking with my Father into the great unknown. Lead on, good shepherd, I'll follow all my days. There ain't nothing sweeter than to watch you make a way. You walk me through the valley, but you never steer me wrong. Lead on, good shepherd, lead on. Step by step, day by day, lead me on, Lord, I pray. Road gets dark, walk by faith, lead on, good shepherd. Step by step, day by day, lead me on, Lord, I pray. Road gets dark, walk by faith, lead on, good shepherd. Lead on, good shepherd, I follow all my days. There ain't nothing sweeter than to watch you make a way. You walk me through the valley, but you've never steered me wrong. So lead on, good shepherd, lead on. Step by step, day by day, lead me on, Lord, I pray. World gets dark, walk by faith. Lead on, good shepherd. Step by step, day by day, lead me on, Lord, I pray. Road gets dark, walk by faith. Lead on, good shepherd. Lead on, good shepherd, I'll follow all my days. There ain't nothing sweeter than to wait you make a way. You walk me through the valley, but you've never steered me wrong. So lead on, good shepherd, lead on. Lead on, good shepherd, lead on, good shepherd. Lead on, good shepherd, lead on, good shepherd. Lead on, good shepherd, lead on.
I have said before, and this is the truth, you will never do anything, never do anything that somehow, some way, you've made it okay in your mind before you do it. You will never do anything that you haven't rationalized or justified or made okay before you do it, even if you know it's wrong. You'll still go ahead. just for this one moment, this one occasion, this one circumstance, it'll be all right. We do those things, and in the back of our mind, there's this little alarm bell going off. It may be a clanging train bell. I don't know. But I'm telling you, this is not good. This is not good. Don't do this. You know it's going to get you in trouble. You know it's going to cause you problems. You know it's going to. You know it is. And still we do it. Still we do it. And we all do it. I don't care who you are. We all do it. Somehow, some way. That knowledge of knowing that what we're doing is not going to have a good result. Of knowing that the end of that road is a car wreck. We know it. And yet we do it. Still do it. We are doing that as a culture right now. The world that you and I live in is doing this more and more so every day. And what it is that we're doing, I want to talk about today. Denying there is a God. The world that we live in today, and increasingly more so in the days to come, wants to put God away. Put him. And I had a guy tell me, okay, Brother Mike, it's all right if you want to go to church. Just don't bring that stuff out here in the real world. Well, now listen. If what I do here cannot go out in the real world, I'm wasting my time in here. Okay? You understand that? Because what we do here is not the end. This is just where we get fueled up. Where we get encouraged. Where we get educated. Where we get challenged. Where we get instructed about what it is our real job is. Our real job is not in here. Our real job is out there. But yet the world wants to put us in an enclosure. They want to do the same thing to God. And the world today wants us to believe that there is no God. There is no God. We are denying God. Now, folks, my question is, what are we thinking? Did you ever find yourself in trouble and somebody who is the authority looks you in the eye and asks you that question? What were you thinking? Well, what are we thinking? In the book of Psalms, chapter number 14, the first three verses. Let's see how God addresses this problem. He's pretty straightforward. The fool. God doesn't call people fools very often. But he says here, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. These are corrupt people. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men, and he looked to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. What did he see? They are all A-L-L. All. That's me. That's you. That's all these arrogant, self-righteous people who think they know better and know more than me and you. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. No, not one. Do you understand that God would have spared the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember back in the days of Abraham? He would have spared the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, thousands upon thousands of people, if he could have just found five righteous people in all that great combination of cities. Couldn't find him. God's looking in our world today for somebody good. You know what the truth is? Can't find him. I want you to understand today that except for the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ, we would all perish just like they did in Sodom and Gomorrah. You understand that? Because there's none good. None good. What are we thinking? You see, there is this massive effort underway to do away with God. God is old-fashioned. The philosophy of God is no longer useful and functional in a progressive world in which we live in. What they're saying is, we got too sophisticated for God. We don't need God anymore. You think about your own particular life, your own personal experience. How many times in your life have you been in one of those situations where you called out to God? I mean, you're sincere. You're earnest effort. Okay? You call out, God, I need some help. Why did you do that? Because you'd done everything else you could do. You'd tried every other avenue. You'd explored every other option. And there was nothing else, right? Nothing else left to do. So you say, God, help me. Isn't that tragic? Isn't that sad? That we've relegated God to this 911 responder? God, I have an emergency and I need your help. We don't get up of a morning and say, God, I'm facing a new day. Help me. We don't go through life dealing with the things that we do with every day saying, God, I need your input here. Show me what to do. How am I supposed to do this? We don't do that. Emergency only. When all else fails, call God. And because we've done that, the world has assumed that we don't need God. We don't need God. Well, who is God? Who is God anyway? 17th chapter of the book of Acts. The great discourse of Paul on Mars Hill. The Athenians had a special place on top of this mountain, this hill, that in this garden, every known god of man, every god that they knew about, that men knew about, and the Athenians were very thorough. They wanted to learn. You know, they wanted to know things, okay? So they'd done their research. And they had a place set aside, a statue, a monument, or whatever, to every god known to man in this garden. Paul comes along. You can read the account there, beginning in the 16th verse. He comes along, and he notices there's an empty spot. There's a pedestal, but there's nothing on it. The inscription on that pedestal says, to the unknown God. To the unknown God. Paul says, gather around. Because this unknown God, I'm going to declare unto you. I'm going to tell you about him. So he begins the process. As you read that, you see what he does. He talks to them about Jesus. He talks to them about God expressing himself, revealing himself, making himself known through the blood, through the person of Jesus Christ. You see, this is the Trinity nature of God. A quick aside here. People ask me about the Trinity of God all the time. The Trinity. What is the thing? Because the Trinity is three separate, distinct characteristics of one God. One God. God the Father, in perfect, righteous holiness, who because of this holiness cannot interrelate. He can't come down and be your buddy. He can't walk with you. He did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden till what happened? Till they sinned. That separated that. So God can't come in contact with us. The Bible says in heaven, he saw God seated upon the throne. John in his revelation. He saw God seated upon the throne. And from his presence, all of heaven and earth fled away. That's God the Father. But he wants to love us. He wants to be our friend. He wants to share with us intimately as a father to a child. That's what He wants to do. He made that possible through Jesus Christ, His Son. That nature of God, God the Son, in Jesus Christ, made the way for man to be able to be a friend of God. But Jesus was flesh and blood. He was a human being. Lived 33 years, He died. They buried Him, He rose again from the dead, but He didn't stay on the earth. After 40 days, He ascended to be with God in heaven. So He went away. He told His disciples, don't worry, don't be concerned. Don't be concerned that I say I have to go away, because it's necessary for me to go away, because unless I go, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity of the nature of God. Because the Holy Spirit could do something that Jesus could not do. He could be with all of us all the time. Now, there's a whole lot about that, my friends, that this old country redneck don't understand. Except I know that's how God describes it. That's how He explains it. And I accept it. I accept it by faith. So, in this nature of God, God wanted something good to happen. The three parts of the character of God. Now, Paul says, I want to tell you about this God. So he begins to tell them about Jesus. Because Jesus said, you say to me, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Have I yet been with you such a long time and still you say, show me the Father? I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when Paul shares with them about Jesus, he is sharing with them the nature and character of God. He tells them about Jesus. I want to read a particular verse here. Verse number 32. Talked about the resurrection of the dead that Jesus made possible. Verse number 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And some said, we want to learn more about this. We will hear you again of this matter. So Paul left from, and there were certain people who stayed with him, who went with him, and the Bible says, and believed. Now you keep those three things in mind. Mockers, inquirers, and believers. Okay, here we go. So you see, it's not about religion. God is not about religion. Because I know people who are very religious about a lot of things that are very damaging to their lifestyle. Okay? I have heard of people, and we've all seen the stories about it, of people in the name of religion who commit horrible, terrible atrocities to the world. They strap bombs to themselves and walk into a crowd of people and detonate. In the name of religion. They're sincere. They're sincere. God is not about religion. Jesus talked about it specifically in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew. This is what He says, verses 8 and 9. This people draw nigh to Me with their mouth. They're religious. And they honor Me with their lips. But their heart is far from Me. In vain they do worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Some of the harshest language that Jesus used in His ministry, some of the most outright condemnation that He expressed in His ministry were toward religious people. The scribes and the Pharisees, the priests in the temple. You know what He called them? Snakes in the grass. You snakes. You vile snakes. Why? They had substituted religion for God. not about religion, folks. God is not about religion. If all you're getting about God happens in a religious setting, you're missing out. You're losing out. God is not about religion. God doesn't have to have this building for Him to minister to the community of Davenport. Do you understand that? He don't have to have this building. He don't have to have this place. And yet we have people who assume, well, I go to church every Sunday. That takes care of it, right? No, no. It's a good place to start, but that's just a start, a very small start about what it is to believe and acknowledge who God is. It's not about religion. It's not about knowledge. It's not about knowing. We're in a time right now. We see evidence of it in things that are going on in our world right now, where people think that if they know, that'll take care of everything. If you educate yourself. And I heard somebody make a comment concerning education. Now, don't misunderstand me, okay? Don't misunderstand me. Education is important. I heard somebody make a statement that all they got to do is get a college degree and everything will be okay. Not. It ain't happening, folks. About 3 million people are going to graduate from colleges and universities this coming year. And about 2,999,999 of them haven't got a clue when they graduate. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. That's almost the truth. They have assumed if they know, that'll take care of it. God is about knowing. That's what they think. If we can just know enough, that'll solve all the problems. No. Some of the smartest people that I have ever known in my life were so incredibly dumb, they couldn't come in out of the rain. And yet some of the most wise people that I knew never stepped foot in a formal education setting. Never went to school a single day of their life. And they were some of the smartest people I was ever around. So it's not about knowing. A guy told me just recently, I believe in a higher power. Well, high power is the 94% octane when you go to the gas station. That's higher power. God is not a higher power. You hear me? Don't refer to God as a higher power. Because in saying that, you are saying there are other things that get close. No, there's not. God is the only power. He's the only power. So don't get caught up in that. But he said, I believe in a higher power. And I said, big deal. And it kind of caught him by surprise. Thought I was going to argue with him. I said, good. Good. You're on equal standing with the devils of hell. And he said, what are you talking about? I pulled the scripture up for him, showed it to him. Look at what it says. James, the second chapter. Verse number 19. You believe there is one God? Good deal. You do well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. So just knowing is not going to be enough, folks. It's not going to satisfy it. The 10th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning with verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. Listen to what he says. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. They want to know. They want to know. But not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They're trying a different way. They're trying something else. They're substituting knowledge for faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not knowledge, not self-righteousness, faith. It is about believing. God is about believing in faith. In faith. I can't explain God. I can't explain even a very small part of the nature and character of God. God is so far above us, so far more than anything that has ever entered into the imagination or mind of men. We can't even get close. We can't even get close. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. Brethren, I came to you. I did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I don't care who you are. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care how intelligent you think you are. You are nothing but a dummy. Just like me. Just like me. And that's what Paul said. Paul was educated. Paul could have wowed you. He could have wowed you with his words. He was educated. He was skilled. He was gifted. He could have just blew your heart hat off. Nope. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you, like the song says, let me tell you about my Jesus. That's what he said he wanted to do. So that's what he did. It is about believing in faith. I don't understand. I don't understand. So, that mean I not try? Does that mean I throw my hands up in despair? And that, does that mean that I'm a failure? No. That means I'm just like you. I'm just like all of us, okay? Well, you can't explain God. Okay? You can't describe in words the nature, character, the massive mightiness of God. Get started. You'll spend the rest of your life and you won't even have touched a very small portion of it. That's who God is. That's who God is. High and lifted up. Awesome in power. Mighty in strength. That's who God is. And yet, gentle in His Father's love for His child, Mike Mitchell. You get that? That's who God is. The response. We talked about Him earlier. How did people respond to what Paul had to share with them about this unknown God? Some mocked. There's a lot of mockers today, aren't there? A lot of people, they may not say it to your face. They won't say it to my face. Think that you're foolish for coming to church. A lot of people who are your family and friends think you're wasting your time by coming to church, by doing anything for God. They think you're crazy that you give your money, that you tithe, that you take care of the ministry of our church. They think you're absolutely nuts. Like I said, they may not say it out loud, but they're saying it. Trust me, they're saying it. So, that cost you anything? That hurt you because they laugh at you and make fun of you? The world's going to. Jesus said they're going to. And it'll get worse than that. One day that mocking, that laughing at you, will turn to acts of violence. You hear me? Listen to me. Maybe not in my lifetime, but some of you younger generation, in your lifetime, you will live in a world that will be openly hostile to your faith in God. where it'll take something extra for you to live a Christian life. You'll be challenged. Mockers, they're out there. Some wanted more information. I commend them for that. I commend them for that. I commend people for coming to me and say, Brother Mike, let's talk about this. Because I get to share with them Jesus. I can't answer all their questions. And listen to me, God won't answer all their questions because that's not faith. That's not faith. When you get to the place where you have to understand it all, it's no longer faith. There's some things about this God that you just have to say, okay, this is what God has revealed. This is what He said. This is what He's shown me. And that's good enough. The old colored preacher responded to somebody making a statement one time. Said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. This old colored preacher stood up and said, my friend, that's not correct. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Okay? Some people want more information. That's good. And the great thing about it is, and some believed. Some believed. Who is God? Who is God? You know, the crazy thing, I made a comment about this in our lesson, or telling the story lesson the other day. There are people that you will minister to. There are people who you will share your story with. There will be people who will have paid attention to what you did with your life, the way you lived it, and you have had the opportunity to plant a seed. To plant a seed. Okay, that's what our job is. That you, in your lifetime, may never get to see the result. Does that mean you quit sowing seeds? Does that mean you quit trying? Does that mean you quit telling your story? You don't get to see the results. You see, as human beings, we're result-oriented. We want to, when we put our hand to something, when we apply some labor, when we put forth the effort, we want to see something happen, right? Right? Truth? None of your business. It's none of your business how people respond. It's not your business. 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, verses 6 and 7, Paul said, this guy planted, another guy watered, but... He said, God gave the increase. So he that plants and he that waters, we're nothing. But God who gave the increase. That's up to God, see? He'll do. He'll do what He intends to do. So leave it up to God. Leave it up to God. As we prepare this morning for a time of invitation, at the beginning, I talked to you about doing something. Knowing. While you were doing it, it wasn't a good thing. That the end result was going to be bad. Listen to what the book of Romans said. Chapter number 3. We'll start with the 10th verse. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands, none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it says unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world, now listen to this, all the world may become guilty before God. If you want to just keep doing those things, you just dive right in and keep on doing them. Because the end result will be God will hold you accountable. God will tell you. Wrong. And the truth, the glorious truth, when you're doing it, He's telling you right now, don't. Don't. I remember as a child, my dad, When it came to matters of discipline, he didn't talk a lot. He explained things, shared with me conduct, behavior, character, shared those things with me on an everyday basis. So we didn't have to have the sit-down one-on-one talk. Didn't have to do that very often. But I promise you, that if my dad said, if you do that, it's wrong, and this is what's going to happen. I promise you, if he said it, it happened. It happened. How could I then expect God, the heavenly, holy, righteous, omnipotent God, to kind of wink at my indiscretions? How can I expect that from God? 53rd chapter of Psalm. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there were any that had done. Did you figure out this is kind of almost a word-for-word repeat of the 14th Psalm? But now listen. To see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear, where there no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encamps against thee. Thou hast put them to shame. Because, listen what he said. Because God has despised them. Yeah, high and mighty they think they are. The fool, there is no. Oh, brother, a day of reckoning is coming. Who is God? What are we thinking? What are you thinking as we stand?